Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited. It's a brand new year. Amen? You know, this morning marks the first Sunday of a brand new year. And I realize 2021 may have been tough for many of us. And things could have been a whole lot better. But regardless of what happened in 2021, one thing we know for sure, that it's behind us now. It's in our rearview mirror. It's done. It's been logged in. And now we're beginning a whole new journey, a whole new chapter of life that still needs to be written, that's never been experienced before. And to me, that's always been exciting. Yes, I do learn from the past, and I do live in the present, and I'm very careful about that because I want to cherish every moment. But I'm also excited about things that haven't happened yet and that could still happen, that we could make happen just by our attitude in the way we live our lives. And so I truly look forward to 2022. You know, in the midst of this uptick of COVID, this Omicron variant, no doubt there are many challenges that we're facing as a people. And I was sharing with Barbara a little while ago that if we look at where the Omicron apparently started in South Africa, it's kind of worked its way through their society, and now it is dramatically dipping. So I'm believing that that's what's going to happen here on Long Island. And I want to focus more on the positive than the negative, because I've always believed this, and doctors and psychologists have proven this, that if we focus more on the positive than the negative, it in and of itself has a healing power to it. It's all about attitude. And so I want to have an attitude of gratitude in this new year. I can't explain it. It may be just an inner feeling that I'm feeling. I may be alone, but I don't think so. I believe that that we're going to see a breakthrough as a people. We're going to see a better year in 2022. I keep asking myself this question. As my wife and I were working our way toward the end of the year, what can I possibly do different in 2022 that will make it a better year than 2021? What adjustments can I make in my life? How can I maybe do things a little differently that will sow into my life and the people around me that will make this an excellent year? Now, no matter whether or not 2021 was good to you, we know that it could always be better. And I believe that. We could always make it a little bit better. You know, New Year's Eve, I went to bed at 10 o'clock. I'm just a sourpuss. I went to bed at 10 o'clock and I gave my wife strict instructions. Wake me up before the ball drops. And we'll welcome in the new year together. Because my wife is like a hamster on a wheel. She stays up late at night. So I knew I could depend on her to wake me up to see that ball drop in Times Square. Well, unbeknownst to me, our youngest daughter FaceTimed her. And my wife says that she was up alone. And she had a sad puppy dog face appearance. And so 25 minutes later, there was a knock on the door. And it was my daughter who drove from Babylon out to Bellport to greet my wife with a bottle of wine. Yes, a bottle of wine. You heard a Methodist preacher say that. A celebration hat and one of those noisemakers. And at one point, I thought I was having a nightmare because the two of them stood over me while I was fast asleep, blowing this noisemaker in my face. And I really didn't realize that it was real. I thought it was just a bad dream. Now, it gets even worse. At the stroke of midnight, my wife now, with a bottle of wine, a New Year's Eve hat, and a noisemaker, went out on the lawn and started beating a pot with a metal spoon. And she's screaming at the top of her lungs, "Happy New Year!" Our neighbor across the street, Betty, came out with her pot and spoon. And it was a symphony going back and forth, taking turns as they helped terrorize the neighborhood. But it was a beautiful thing, and I'd share with my wife didn't realize this, but growing up in Brooklyn, at the stroke of midnight, everybody stuck their heads out the window and pounded on pots and pans. And we all wished each other Happy New Year's. Was that done on Long Island as well? All five boroughs, yes. So I thought only Brooklynites did that, but apparently my wife joined in, and she was so excited that while she didn't wake me up for the ball to drop, the next thing I know, she's beating this pot in our bedroom. And I finally got up. But she was excited. And I want to tell you, I think it was great that she had that attitude. That's right. My wife says she was saying, "Pandemic be gone." And the new year would be a great year. And she went out there and she proclaimed that. You know, the Bible says, shout it from the rooftops. Well, it's been rewritten. Shout it from the lawn. And she said to me these words, and I wrote them down. I want to begin the new year excited and positive. I have decided that today will be the beginning of a great year. And amen. And you know what? I think I caught a little bit of that. And I came here this morning with a little bit of that positivity that my wife had shared with me. And so I thank you. And she even came up to me before service. She says, "Be excited today." But I am truly excited because there's a whole new chapter to be written by each of us in this new year. And so I want to just pause for a moment and explore the Apostle Paul and his words to us this morning, taken from the epistle to the church in Ephesus that was read by Barbara just a little while ago. And I think it's going to be a little helpful to us as we explore 2022. And these are the words he says. He says, "Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most out of every opportunity." See, I think that's the key. Make the most out of every opportunity. Folks, there's no guarantee about tomorrow. We've got today. And so make the most of it. Make the most of it with the people you love, with the people you care about, with your church family, your neighbors, and people you encounter along the way each day. Make the most of it, he says. Take every opportunity. He says, you know, the days are evil, and therefore don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I think that's an incredible admonishment. He was very aware that in Ephesus, in his time, that there were things going on that he did not want to have impact the church, which, by the way, wasn't very big in Ephesus. He started this church in Ephesus. But he wanted to make sure that they would not be impacted by their environment, but that they, in fact, would impact their environment. That they would have a positive impact on the people of Ephesus. You got to remember, and this is something that you can't just let slip by. This was a city where the Apostle Paul spent the longest amount of time in his entire journeys wherever he went. He actually stayed in Ephesus for 3 years. And so we know that he knew this city and he knew it well. You know, it was an incredible city. I've shared this in previous messages. My wife and I, we've been to Ephesus. It's in modern-day Turkey today. It's an incredible archaeological site. It's mind-boggling, to be honest with you. And they're still uncovering things each and every year, new explorations that they're doing archaeologically. And it was a population of over 250,000 people. Now, in today's statistics, when you think about the mega cities like New York, L.A., Chicago, Miami, and so forth, that may not sound very big, but I want to tell you, 250,000 people in antiquity was a huge, huge metropolis. This was a big city. In fact, one of the facades that are there is of a huge library that held an incredible amount of scrolls, where you could go to a public library and actually read. They were very enlightened people, but it was a very secular environment. It was a port city. Now, today, you have to take a bus from the port to get to Ephesus because over the years it was filled in with silt, and now it's several miles to get to the city that was once a port city. But at the time, it was a port city, and it was not unusual to sit at a dock and watch vessels pull in and dock from Egypt with wheat and salt and other items, and other vessels pulling in from all over the Mediterranean with vessels filled with olive oil and other spices. And so it was a hustling, bustling city. And in the midst of this incredibly prosperous society that Paul is speaking of, there were many pitfalls that Paul was concerned about for the church in Ephesus. He was concerned. And so he's telling the Christian believers who are trying to build a small church in a secular environment to be careful how they live their lives. Be careful, he's telling us. And I would suggest, by the way, that admonition is probably true for us today, in the environment that we live in today's society, to be careful, to live wisely. I believe one thing people, religious or secular, it doesn't matter, are looking for today is looking for hope and positivity. People need a word of hope. People need something positive sowed into their life. There's enough negativity out there. And I don't even want to dwell on that this morning. I could have given a whole laundry list this morning. I chose not to do that. I don't want to look at negativity. I want to start this new year thinking about the positive. And that doesn't mean that we bury our heads in the sand and ignore what's going on in our environment, but we shouldn't get affixed to it, where it has such a negative impact on us that it causes us to be depressed and sick. And I don't want to do that going into this new year, and I hope you join me in that. Paul knew it wasn't easy living the Christian life in Ephesus, and that's why he wrote this letter. He knew it wouldn't be easy living the Christian life. He knew that then, and I think in 2022, we know that now. It's not always easy to live the Christian life in our environment with dishonesty and so forth. And you know, it's we want to be that shining light that shines into the darkness of our world. And Paul knew that was not easy. But we are called to be different because we are different. If you claim the name of Christian, if you claim to be a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ, then therefore we must be different. When people see us, they should see something different about us. And you know what? People are watching. I've learned that over the years. Because people will remind you that you're a churchgoer, that you serve on a committee, or you claim to be this Christian, but I heard you telling a dirty joke, or I saw you doing this, or dishonesty. They're watching. But you know what? More important than that, God's watching. God's watching us and everything that we do. I saw this on Channel 12, and I've never seen this before. It's a little segment of positive something. It's like a little snippet of positive things going on in our area. And I, you know, my wife and I, we were watching, and I said, my wife says, isn't it great that Channel 12 is trying to exude positivity and not just giving you all the bad news? And they told one story after the next, and they were telling this story about this guy who has been working in the Wendy's order window in New Jersey for 20 years. And he greets everybody over that little speaker with joy and excitement. You can't just order something. He sings you a song. He tells you how good looking you are today and have a cheerful day. He has done such an incredible job of this for 20 years. Believe it or not, his community in New Jersey, they set up a Facebook page just for him so that they could post all the greetings that they're recording from that little speaker box when they order their hamburgers and French fries. Because he has something new to say and something uplifting every time you drive through that drive-thru. And what I found out is that he is a Christian believer who preaches the gospel without speaking a scripture, without mentioning a scripture verse. And when people ask him, how come you're so cheery? He goes, oh, I've got Jesus in my life. Now think about that. He doesn't say, okay, you want a Wendy's grilled burger and French fries, but did you read John 3:16? He's just cheerful. And people see that in him, and they see the excitement, living out his faith, letting his light shine through a Wendy's checkout window. And I would say, by the way, as my wife and I were watching that, he is very pleasing in the sight of God. He's very pleasing in the sight of God. I heard about a pastor who had conducted his first service in a church that he was just newly appointed to, and there were 300 members of this church. And as he was greeting people at the end of the service, one woman said to him, you know what? You're going to have a hard time pleasing these 300 people. To which he responded, ma'am, I'm just going to please Jesus, and that should work for the rest of them. And isn't that true? If we please Jesus, Bobby, I'm going to use you as an example. You're the only truck driver I know who drives around and gives away stuff during the holidays, who greets people like that guy at the Wendy's window, whether it's who he's delivering to or whatever. You have a ministry. You have a ministry. Now, I know you're retired now. A month to go, he's retiring. But you'll take that wherever you go. You will take that excitement wherever you go. You see, it's true. If we please Jesus, we can have an inner peace that will project that peace and that light to others. And so in this new year of 2022, our main goal should be to please our Lord. That should be number one. Every morning we get up, we should say, Lord, whatever I do today, I want to be pleasing in your sight. And give me an opportunity to be a witness to somebody through doing something good that will brighten up and lift somebody up who I encounter. And when we're given that inner peace, and by the way, Jesus says, I give a peace not as the world gives. You can't get the peace that Jesus gives. And when you catch that peace, then you could share that with others who are seeking the same. Let your light shine, like that man in the Wendy's window. Beat your pot, like my wife did on the lawn of our home at the strike of midnight, waking up a sleeping world, announcing the new year has arrived. and it will be happy, healthy, and merry. We have that kind of authority, church. We have that kind of opportunity to be that witness in our world, a world that's crying for some kind of word of hope and positivity. And so as we begin this new year, are we going to live it pleasing to God so that God will see what we do and say, you know what, I'm pleased in you? Are we going to let our light shine and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all whom we meet, sometimes without sharing a single scripture? You see, we can do all of these things either the world's way, or we could do it God's way. But doing it God's way is always better. And I want to tell you, when I first really surrendered my life to God, I thought my life was going to be boring. Because I thought, you know, the life I was living was full of so much fun. You know, maybe I saw too many Christians that looked like a raccoon sucking on a lemon. I don't know. But I can tell you, I thought I was giving up a joyful life. But I could tell you, it's been the greatest ride I've ever been on, ever since I said, Lord, I surrender my life to you. And with your help, I will follow you all the days of my life. And so let us begin a new life in this new year, filled with joy and peace and hope and positivity. Are you willing to join me in this endeavor?
Yes.
Amen. Welcome aboard. Amen and amen.